It is Friday the 1st of June. Welcome to episode 120 of Digital Outbox. Hi, thanks for joining us again. My name is Ian. Joining me tonight is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Good evening.
Good evening. I think that was my third aborted attempt to get us going tonight, which you have total blame.
We're there now, aren't we? We're up and running.
We're chatting away. Your reactions are quite slow, seemingly. Maybe.
Yeah. I had I think it's called a developer meeting that ended up down the pub.
Our developer meetings end up in fights.
Oh, well. Either way, you're beaten up at the end of it.
Welcome to Glasgow. So, 1st of June. June's a big month. I didn't quite realise how much was happening in June until I put some thought into it.
Ooh, yes, we're building up to E3.
E3 is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And I haven't heard that. Well, I've heard little snippets of what's going on, but it's going to be boring, isn't it?
I think it's just new games and probably the Wii U. So we'll
and
be...
all the new games that are being released at the moment are all a bit pap, aren't they? So
yeah, Ghost Recon.
Yeah, we'll come to that maybe later.
Yeah, but WWDC the following week and Google I.O. at the end of the month.
And what are we expecting at WWDC? Anything? Well, I guess it's the usual.
I think we'll see it's mostly software and maybe some laptop refreshes. Could be quite tempting.
Maybe. Guess we'll have to wait and see.
Google
I.O. as well. And Google I.O., so I guess, Google chatting about the next 10 billion things that they've decided are quite cool.
I think before Google I.O. this year, we should go back to last year and score which ones that they talked about actually did anything.
They've got to show the goggles, haven't they? The heads-up screen thing.
Well, usually they have like a free gift under everybody's chair.
Maybe. Maybe they've been working towards it. I think either that or they're going to give everyone a self-driving car.
How cool would that be? How many geeks would die on the way back from Google I.O.?
I pressed the wrong button.
Exactly. let's crack on with the news. So, Cookies Law is now active. Kind of.
Is it?
So, there was a new EU regulations came in last week. I think it was in May 26th they kicked in. And allegedly, British websites should be making it more clear that you're using cookies. I noticed in BBC, I think the day before, there was a pop-up. So every different device I went to, there's a little bar at the top of the BBC website saying, we're using a cookie. Are you okay with it? And do you want to find out more? Starship Trooper.
Yeah. So, I mean, this law was actually brought in a year ago.
Yes.
They gave everyone a year to implement it, and obviously no one did because it was such a silly thing. So effectively, the law says that you have to ask permission before you store anything on a computer. But obviously, if you want to remember that they've even asked that question, you have to store something. So it was a ridiculous law implemented in a ridiculous way. However, at the very, very last second, they ended up saying, actually... you can just store cookies and imply that the user's happy about that. So really, we've now positioned, I guess probably because one of their own websites, they thought, it doesn't work anymore.
It was just bizarre. I mean, 48 hours before. I mean, as you said, we've waited a year for this.
And a lot of money and time went into finding solutions to, creative solutions for this. So I imagine there are a lot of people out there who are extremely annoyed that they didn't have to do all that work.
And there's probably a few people thinking that was easy.
There's a few people thinking, we got away with that.
Absolutely. I mean, there was a tremendous amount of websites didn't do anything.
Like Digital Outbox?
Did I have to do something?
With our finger on the pulse, we knew that it was going to change at the last minute, didn't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We shouldn't be smug because we're still supposed to tell people about our cookies. But anyway, I'm sure that'll happen. Should we move on?
I think we'll move on. The Twitter joke trial. Now, this has rumbled on for a couple of years now.
It could almost have its own segment music now, couldn't it?
I think it should have its own like weekly bulletin on the news somewhere. But
this week in Twitter joke trial.
Yep. So this is Paul Chambers, who threatened to blow up as a joke Robinhood Airport, and he appealed, and they couldn't decide between them. One judge was for him and one judge was against it. So it's now going to another hearing.
Yeah, so it was a district court and there was two judges sitting and it split the judges.
So now it goes to the High Court.
Which apparently is very unusual.
Yep, so now it goes to the High Court where there's three.
The split doesn't matter then. Yeah, and it was interesting that they kind of said, you know, in the first wave of this, the first trial, if you like, everyone admitted that no one ever really took it seriously as a serious threat. They just said it was a very unfunny joke. And losing your job at being fined, you know, over £1,000 and all the bad stuff that came along with it is quite a harsh result for a bad joke.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. I think there's quite a lot of celebrities come on board now, haven't they? They're all, I mean, he did initially get backed. And I think something like 4,000 people retweeted or he did the same message out there. So in some ways it shows that, you know, they're not treating everyone the same. This was just a...
No, I think...
Trying to teach a lesson, wasn't it?
There's been more serious cases recently. There's a footballer down south who, you know, was charged with rape, and there's a few people tweeted out the name of who he raped. And they've all been charged. Mm. And I think they're being quite consistent about anybody in that case who does either retweet or says the name is going to get done.
Yes.
But that is more serious.
It's far more serious. Yep. and it's far more balanced, that. It's, you know, it doesn't come across sounding silly.
No.
And this whole trial just sounds silly. It's been going on. It's costing a lot of money.
The only issue I've got with the rape one is that there's still people say it in forums, etc.
It's Twitter just seems to be the thing is people
because it's obvious and it's easy to find.
It's more upfront and it is more international, and it, you know, your posts are instantly visible and also indexed and searchable as well. So whereas it's almost like a massive public forum rather than, you know, a small forum here or a forum there kind of thing.
Now we mentioned WWDC. We're probably going to see more of Mountain Lion. And this has been the week we've seen another couple of OS updates. So first up was Microsoft Windows 8 release candidate is now out there. It's now available
ahead of schedule
download
as well.
Yeah. I have it. It's installed. As before, pretty easy. Just download the ISO, slap in the code, set up my VM. Good to go.
Any big differences that you've noticed?
Not with the previous one. So the previous one was the big update that brought a lot more to that Metro front end.
Mm-hmm.
This is really, there's a few extra apps in there. Flash, they've actually included a stripped down Flash.
Because they weren't going to, were they?
No, so Adobe have included a stripped down Flash for IE10. There's some new gestures in there. And there's not really too much difference. Apart from it feels very snappy, very stable. You know, and I've maybe ran it for half an hour this afternoon. It's a lot of websites have obviously ran it for, you know, probably a day or two now, and they're saying it's really, really stable.
Yeah, we're starting to get some good feedback coming in. And so the cut down Flash, it's more that they're just using it for specific websites, I think. So
yeah,
YouTube are going to be able to use it, but it won't generally be available to other websites.
But I mean, one strange thing is that they're doing away with Aero. So they made a very long, detailed, horrendously quite dull blog post about the evolution of Windows and the style of, you know, the kind of front end, and they said Aero's going to disappear, and that's Aero's still present in the current preview.
So is that again to help performance? I mean, it seems
I don't know,
strange to cut away, maybe unless they're coming up with something bigger and, you know, more
it seemed
visually
to be,
appealing. It
seemed to be almost like a back to the way it used to look.
Maybe it's trying to make it really unattractive
so
that the tab one is more attractive to use.
Yeah, and we've not got long to wait because it is expected to come out in October.
Wow, so yeah, that is pretty smart.
But I will say the Metro side of things, I think that's got a chance to if Microsoft can partner with the right hardware, you know, manufacturers to actually get a good tablet, I think that Metro front end is going to be really good. I mean, out the box this afternoon, it was clicking the weather. It says, can you let me know where you are? Go and then find me, and it found Glasgow and it popped it up. The news widget got all the news, very visual, you know, almost flipboard, and you could just flip through the news. It was all UK. It was all relevant. And it was like that out of the box. I didn't have to do anything. You know,
do you think it could invigorate the phone use as well? Because, I mean, those tabs are effectively the ultimate use of the phone interface type idea that Microsoft have come up with. And obviously, with more real estate on screen, you can realise a lot more in that kind of space.
Absolutely. And even, I tried my website. So that was my personal blog in IE10, in Windows 8, which isn't the full release, in a VM, and it was quicker than Chrome on the Mac.
We were having a very quick chat before podcast, and we were talking Chrome's getting fat around the edges. It's getting middle aged.
Yep.
See, it happens to all browsers. They get to middle age and they just think, I'll slow down a bit now.
Yeah, because I mean, Safari's certainly a bit snappier on the Mac than Chrome is.
I still dislike Safari because of its cookie policy.
Less. Yeah, I know. Oh, which reminded me, that's a story I never added in. But by default, IE10 is going to have Do Not Track set as its default.
Right.
So that was the kind of other bit of news that came out about the browser this week. With many people saying that that's probably a sign that Microsoft doesn't have a big stake in search, doesn't have a big stake in not search, advertising.
No, because that's what it affects most is the advertising tracking. Analytics.
Most people are not going to go and turn off that default.
No, and analytics is big business, as in it is important. It's like those virtual shoppers. You know, it tells people how to make their website better for a user. So it's valuable data that goes missing. But I imagine there'll be something that comes along. Websites, or you can't use this website unless you have such and such turned on.
I think you're going to see more of that. You know, just prompting the user to say, if you want to come in here, you're going to have to change this.
Yeah. They'll find a way of making it so it doesn't work without it.
Yeah, so that's Windows 8. Very promising. Very promising.
I might have a download and a fiddle.
I think it was only three and a bit gig. Trivial.
And with my new speedy box, yeah.
Exactly. Speaking of speedy boxes, Google, from out of nowhere, a Chromebook and a Chrome box.
It's almost like the resurrection, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is Chrome OS, and I mean, it's basically launched two new devices this week with Samsung. And obviously, they'd seeded a lot of the big gadget sites and technology sites because there was when the embargo was reached, there was a flurry of, very similar...
Look what we've got! Look.
Exactly. Very similar posts. And actually saying the hardware was very impressive. And also Chrome OS has actually seen a lot of updates that has really, really helped.
Wasn't the whole idea of Chrome OS, though, that it didn't need impressive hardware? The whole point was it was going to run on anything.
So when I'm saying it's impressive hardware, I was more meaning from the design point of view. The specs are still...
So it looks nice, yeah.
The specs are still very much less than, say, a MacBook Air. And a MacBook Air is specs, less than a MacBook Pro, if you think of the sliding scale.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I always thought it's a bit of hardware. To run a browser, that's what it felt like. I know that's probably a bit harsh, but one of the things they have brought in is multi-window support.
It's more and more though. It's diluting away from where they thought it was going to be. I've guessed the practicalities of having to try and run an operating system. It's still incredibly impressive what they're doing.
Absolutely,
because it is now more and more looking less like a browser. It's a bit like the Google app on iOS. It is a browser, and effectively it's running all web apps, but it's the interface is now sufficient so that you can actually use it day to day, and it's driven them to move all of their apps, well, not all of them, but as many as they can, into offline mode. So they're developing up offline versions of all their docs, and you can read and write MS Word docs and things like that, even when you're not connected, which was we thought was never going to happen, but they somehow have done it.
Well, we used to have it with Google Gears, and obviously that fell away.
Yes.
And there's been a longer gap than they actually anticipated. I mean, they said it would be a few months. I'm sure it's just over a year that we've been not had that offline capability.
It sounds like they've also been making, improvements to the OS over the last 12 months because we're not really involved in it and we don't have a stake in it either of us. We wouldn't have noticed, but they reckon they're now booting up a lot faster, which is obviously one of their signature. They wanted to boot in some like 3 seconds. I don't know whether they're anywhere near that, but they're also the whole operating system apparently is 2.5 times quicker at key times. which is pretty impressive.
The best bit for me was that the speeds obviously looks really good. The multi-window support, I can see making a lot of difference, you know, rather than just that one, I've only got that kind of one browser window. And I talked about an app launcher and pinning favorites and stuff like that. But then the next bullet was you can customize backgrounds. And it was like, that sounds like the media pack add-on to Windows 95.
Yeah, so it's not going to be long until they bring in. Oh, let's have a start button. I was just going to end up looking like
an operating system. We've got Clippy. It will help you. But I think things like, you know, Google Drive coming out and the offline dock is going to make a big difference. Still, you know, the little bit that niggles me, price. You know, so for that, it's a 12.1 inch laptop, fairly seemingly design wise. You know. Pretty snazzy, not MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, but you know, a good laptop. But it's still $449.
But if that came over here, that would be £300.
I was going to say it's probably about £350. PC World, I think, are selling.
Okay, yeah, £350.
Hold on, I could probably jump on PC World, and not be very quick.
It's still a lot of kit for not a great deal of money, though. I don't know whether you can manufacture things cheaper than that, really, and still make them worthwhile. The Chromebook was an interesting one, though. So it's pretty much like a Mac Mini, I guess.
£380.
Oh wow, okay, so it is quite a bit more.
Yep, and the Chromebox is £280.
So the Chromebox, you can fit in. You basically shove in a keyboard, shove in a mouse, attach it to an HDMI.
It's a Mac Mini, and as it's been made by Samsung, it looks like a Mac Mini as well.
Right, does it have a nice box?
It pretty much has the same disc underneath that you rotate to get into the case. Honestly, it's a...
Oh dear, we'll look forward to those trials as well then.
Shameless. Fun. So I don't know. It looks like it's a good step up, but is it still a browser on a laptop with no storage?
And I guess if you've already got a laptop, it's not something you're going to want. It's still hard to know where the market is for this and who it's made for, really. But, you know, I think it might be something like the future.
And final little update from Google. They're helping UK education. Well done, Google.
That's nice of them, isn't it?
That's very nice. So basically, they've announced a 3-year partnership with UK organisation Teach First. So 34 teachers are going to go through a 6-week training programme. And also they're going to buy them some Raspberry Pi, and I can never pronounce that. Arduino microcontrollers.
Arduino?
Yeah, that's probably better. Who knows? I know what it is. It's those little kind of breakout boxes, and you can code it up and talk to them, and you can make all sorts of
things.
Like
the old logic thing. Yeah.
So
34 a year. It sounds like an interesting concept. I mean, I guess you have to pick and choose your teachers because they've got to be on board. And I guess the idea is to re-spark all that kind of, you know, 80s type thing where computers were simple enough that you could get hold of them.
I read this and thought of you because
BBC
because Schmidt, good old Herr Schmidt, mentioned the success of the BBC Micro in the 80s shows what's possible.
See, you me know, and Schmidt, we're on the same wavelength.
Absolutely. BBC sparked off your podcasting urges.
Exactly. So I'd really be interested to see whether Raspberry Pi lives up to all this hype, because I think as soon as people realise that it's still quite hard to program, I mean, that's one of the problems, is it makes it all sound nice. And look at this tiny little gadget that does all these cool things, but it's still quite hard to make it do.
There was an interesting little backlash, but just some people pointing out, remember at the start of the year, there was a whole load of like Code Academy and all these kind of things started up and people were signing up and it was like, yeah, look at all these people that are going to code. And just some people this week saying, you know, not everybody should code. So for some people, it just doesn't fit how they think. It doesn't fit, you know, totally.
But then again, there's plenty of people who don't like cooking or don't like artwork, but they're still made to do it at a younger age because you keep options open and you never know what you're going to like when you grow up. So that
I'm fine with that at the younger age. I was more just talking about the elderly.
Adults, but it's that's up to them, though. No matter what, isn't it?
I think there's a massive amount could be done. I think some of these kind of one-to-one iPad launches that have been done in schools are very interesting. Because I just look at the, you know, all our kids are going to be using, you know, iPods, iPhones, whatever, you know, touchbooks, touchpads. Well, they won't be using those, but they're, you know what I mean. they're all using, you know, tablets, they're all using smartphones, they're all using, you know, computers of some sort.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. There will come the day, and it's probably not going to be that long, where we will look and go, what are they doing with their lives? And we just won't understand anymore. I'm happy with my iPad. Why do I need these implants? And so I can actually see, why do I need these glasses? So it's right in
Google
front of me.
Glasses.
Exactly.
Google
so
glasses.
There will come the day where we just go, I don't understand anymore. I mean, I don't understand why you have to wear trousers around your ankles.
Well, hopefully, sorry.
That's the trend, isn't it? Sagging trousers. Anyway, obviously not in Glasgow.
Well, hopefully next week or the week after, Henry will be able to give us an update, because he does have his Raspberry Pi.
He's got it. Yep, he has it. On the cutting edge.
He is. In fact, as he is right now, he's coding away. Some media stories now. So UView we've talked about a few times.
But they've been called different things, haven't they?
Yeah, so it was called previously Project Canvas. They made a bold claim, I think it was about a turn of the year, that don't worry, we'll be out for the Olympics. And they are, because it's going to be tested in 350 homes right now.
Oh, there you go. And this is an online on-demand service, is that right? Does it live stream as well?
It's basically Freeview over the internet.
Okay, so it's pumping out all the kind of Freeview channels, but over a wire.
Yes. And that's about it. But you can also get widgets and apps and Facebook and Twitter and all
it's
that good stuff.
I guess they're having a digital box as well, as it's going to go onto devices and smart TVs and things like that. But they're talking about adding kind of what do you call it? Video recording, almost, so you can pause and delay mute, you know, via this internet stream. So it's potentially quite impressive, but it hasn't got Sky or Virgin on it.
No. So just, it's BBC, ITV, stuff. Channel 4, Channel 5, BT, Talk Talk, and some other unpronounceable company that I won't bother mentioning.
Okay.
it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I do wonder if with all the kind of apps and other bits and pieces that they're having to add in, and they're probably having to make it all standards compliant and make it for all these different hardware platforms, I'm sure that's what's slowing up the...
I bet it's a nightmare to try and get it all sorted. Yet,
absolutely.
It might be nice to have everything in one place. If everything was running on BBC iPlayer technology, which I think is part of the underlying structure of it, if all these other channels were in one place, in a good place, rather than wherever it was before Seesaw, I think we're onto a good thing.
Almost common sense.
Almost common sense.
ITV. Not the Apple ITV, if they dare call it that, but ITV has added live streaming and AirPlay support to its iOS app. So you can now fire it
watch
up
it now.
And fire it up in your Apple TV.
Well, good.
And there's not much more to say.
No, I think, Catch Up TV, something like that? They've been streaming all the channels for ages now, so why not do it firsthand, get advertising?
Yes, and that's the only thing, because ITV is a commercial, then there's some adverts to watch before you can start watching a
of course there are. Fun. Especially when you just... yes, it's just annoying. Anyway, such is life.
Love Film are finally brought 1080p to the UK.
Good.
Exactly. It's like, welcome
to the
future.
I didn't know they hadn't already, to be honest. So seemingly they'd only done 720p up till now, is that correct? So they're going to back catalogue it. It's only going to work on certain devices, so I guess things that are capable of it, like Mac, PC, Xbox, and
I think it was more HD. TVs. I think the previous Love Film was mostly SD, so a lot of content was
not
SD.
Not even 720.
Yeah, so I think the fact that Netflix came along and said, here's a lot of our content in HD, it meant they had to really do it to compete.
And as everyone knows, SD content on a big TV does look particularly poor on LCDs. Just not able to cope with that low res.
No.
So good stuff.
And a final media story is Virgin. And I know this kind of secondhand, because I have two colleagues at work who do pay for Spotify. And they got in touch with me and says, oh, it's broke. Absolutely broke. So they were Virgin customers, and basically they couldn't even play like a one track without it pausing and stuttering. So it's great having 50 meg broadband, but not if you can't play anything at all.
Virgin are definitely fiddling, aren't they? They're fiddling. Now they've offered all these things maybe to to hide the fact they're fiddling with managed their traffic.
They've always managed at certain levels, you know, quite a bit. And as I said, I never really check my speed unless it's like broke.
Yes.
Because I don't care. See if it's like 50, 30, 20. I don't care.
And I guess for the you know, the people like Virgin, you do want to just stream at just the right speed, really, because otherwise you're buffering the things that if they quit the app, then that's just completely wasted bandwidth. So I guess there is a balancing act to have there, and maybe they just didn't quite get it right.
The little snippet I found interesting about this is that a lot of people blame the traffic management policy, but Virgin says, no, it's not. We just needed more bandwidth to support Spotify because its use is growing. Mm. The two guys at work, all they did was change their DNS and it worked a treat.
Right.
So I was like, I just said to him, I says, I would try switching to Open DNS or Google DNS, and I got a mail back a few minutes later, Google DNS, and it's working a treat. Thanks for that. A few days later, it's all about bandwidth, seemingly. So I don't know. It might have just been coincidence. It might be a totally unrelated issue, but it seems a bit odd.
Yep.
And finally, good old BBC. Good old BBC. I chuckled long and hard at this one. Because Master Chief's been brought in to sort Syria.
Oh, wow. Well, Syria's saved.
I'm sure at next week's E3, Microsoft will announce that that Halo 4 is actually set
in Syria.
Set in 2012, and it's all about heading into Syria to kick ass. Basically, they've blamed some unknown researcher.
Well, I think we should explain. So this was during a news report about the Syrian crisis, and they put up the logo Amnesty International next to it. It was the UNSC, which I assume someone just did a search for United Nations Security Council and got...
I thought, that's it. Not
realizing. Instead, they got the Halo United Nations Space Council.
Space Command.
Oh, Space Command, sorry.
Do you know, I wouldn't even have known that's what it was called in Halo. I've played every game. I'm online every week with it, and I've no idea what UNSC is.
And they proudly put the logo up over the left shoulder or the right shoulder of the news reporter, and there it sat.
And of course, it's on YouTube, and it will be there forever.
Forevermore.
Excellent. Class, that's all I can say. Made me chuckle. Did. And that's the news. Oh, well, I guess we could do a little bit in Ghost Recon, actually.
Yeah. So it's been a bit disappointing, hasn't it, really? So our game of our youth. In the young days of Xbox Live, we used to play it all the time. And all the games up till now haven't really disappointed. But this one's it's rough around the edges. We've still got to give it a bit more of a chance. But it was laggy and horrible the other day.
I mean, graphics are fine. They're not cutting edge. They're fine. And there's some bits look really smart and there's other bits look really rough. And there's just things that just don't work for me. You know, it's like it's hit and miss when I've made changes to the weapons as I've unlocked things. Some maps they're in and some maps they're not. And it's just all a bit strange. And as I said, the lag we had the other day was years.
Considering that all our internets should be getting faster, they should be able to cope better now than they could before.
Yeah, it's been years since I've seen a whole night. I mean, you still, because of the peer-to-peer aspects,
ruined.
Exactly. But it's been, you know, if I think back to, you will see the odd occasional game because of peer-to-peer. You know, you will get the odd occasional game of FIFA or Halo or whatever that it's like, oh, it's a bit laggy, this one.
Yep.
But the next ones, you just know it's guaranteed it'll be fine. And unfortunately for Ghost Recon, they seem to be having an awful lot of trouble. Hopefully.
We will give it some more chance. That's, you know, it's only because it's a game of love
that
we'll go back to it. But
and shamefully, if I think back to what we really love it for, it's the 8 minutes of crawling through bushes.
Yeah, and we haven't had any of that because it's all too close quarters.
Exactly, they've taken it away. It's all short maps and people running in right in your face and Call of Duty style going, ah.
I'm sure there are other maps, but the problem is that a lot of people online vote for the ones that are close combat. So we'll see whether we get any more.
I think the old classics will come and we'll have to pay for them for the fourth time.
Of course, we will buy them again.
That's this week's news. And on to picks. I will spare you the embarrassment of pointing out you have not a pick.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll move on to my very quick one. And it's called Cheat Sheep. Cheat Sheep? Cheat Sheet.
Cheat.
I'm not even going to be able to fix that in the edit. So Cheat Sheet is an app. It's a free app for Mac. And it's very simple. You download it, install it. And once it's running, you hold your command key down. And after a few seconds, a screen pops up with all the keyboard shortcuts for the current app.
Yeah.
And I installed it, flicked through all the apps, and it works a treat.
That's very good.
And that's it. Cheat Sheet app. And you can get that.
Jeremy Hunt.
You can get that at cheatsheetapp.com. You know what I can't believe? A whole day of Jeremy Hunt and nobody messed it up.
No, I know. They're getting quite good at it now. You can hear them stutter just before they say it every single time. Jeremy Hunt. They're getting good.
That's our picks. That's our show. If you'd like to find out more about us, our website is digitaloutbox.com, and we'd love to hear from you. So info@digitaloutbox.com. And thanks to Jim, who sent in a couple of tips for apps this week, which I'm sure will feature in the show shortly. I might just give them to Chris and say, there's some picks, Chris. We're also on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. My blog is iand.net. I'm on Twitter as Sweeper. And Chris?
Yep, I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK.
Fantastic. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll speak to you again soon. That's awful. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We will cheat sheet speak to you.
The worst bit is you're the one that's tired and I'm the one that just can't speak.
I've transmitted it, you see, through the power of the internet.
It's Friday the 1st of June. Welcome to episode 120.
I did nothing.
You smirked. You smirked like a cop.
It was the way you smirked.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. This next one, you won't think about laughing at all.
Have you kept recording?
Yeah.
Cool. I know what I'm going to do. I can't see you anymore. but I do need a bigger screen. There we go.
I'm smirking.
Ah.